Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
So recently we had a conversation with the National Lotteries Commission, and this was on the back of an article and some releases, press releases that were released stating, you know, some of the work that they're doing work that refers to them dealing with corruption. And one of the cases that was mentioned was the suspension of company secretary advocate Nompumelelo Nene. The story, as you will hear in my interview with the National Lotteries Commission, had painted a narrative that stated that there had been about 6 million rand that was lost because Advocate Nene had been paid this money while on suspension. So we have agreed to have a conversation with Advocate Nene, allowing her to give us her side of the story. And in fact, what should have happened from the word go was that she was supposed to have been given the right of reply. We erred on that side, and we do apologize for that. But she is going to be giving us her side of the story. And we are, though, going to be playing you just a reminder clip of the conversation that I had with the National Lotteries Commission. And then she will come on to state her side of the story.
Point of View.
Something quite interesting has happened here. It's a suspension of the National Lotteries Commission company secretary Nompumelelo Nene, who has suddenly resigned. And this is after being suspended and earning 6 million since his suspension from the 18th of November 2022 to the 28th of February. On the line with us is Advocate Lesedi Wihang, who is Executive Manager of Legal Services at the National Lotteries Commission. At what point was the Lotteries Commission going to call it? And I know there have been back and forths between herself and going to court.
In actual fact, what has happened is that there were allegations preferred and leveled against Ms. Nene, allegations of corruption, maladministration and other things, which led to her suspension, a precautionary suspension with full pay. And this dates back as far back as 18 November 2022. And by then, the acting commissioner issued a suspension letter to Ms. Nene. Mm. And then the NLC started with investigations from December of that same year, which lasted long because they were very, very extensive, from December 2022 up until October of 2023. Then in November of 2023, a formal charges were preferred against Ms. Nene, comprising of 145 charges. And between that time, November 2023 and April of 2024, there were several Stalingrad tactics to delay the disciplinary hearing and prosecution to interdict or to hold the DC hearing by Ms. Nene. Just to give you two indications, in March of 2024, she applied for an urgent interdict to stop the disciplinary hearing against herself. And the matter was struck off the roll. And then the actual disciplinary hearing started thereafter in April of 2024, which took place from that time until early this year, January 2025, when she resigned just a day before her cross-examination. And she has tried last year again, November, to bring an interlocutory review application, Pretoria High Court, against the forensic report, and the court dismissed the application with costs.
You know,
so this is basically the factual matrix and the age of this matter.
And in the two cases, for instance, that you're mentioning, the court was quite clear on the one occasion, the court saying, you know, why should she not? Her court, her lawyer must explain why she should not be carrying the costs. The second one, where she's now insisting that, you know, the Auditor General supply her with information. And the court again saying, well, this is just a fishing expedition. You know, at what point then was this going to stop if she had not actually resigned on the 28th?
You know, we believe in the rule of natural justice.
Yes.
We believe in the supremacy of the Constitution, not to infringe the rights of a person, and for a person to be heard. So it was going to take for as long as the DC was to last. But we were just on the brink of finalizing a disciplinary hearing. Hence, I'm saying that NLC had presented its case through various witnesses. She has also presented her evidence in chief. Just when she was about to be cross-examined, she threw in a towel. And that marked the end of everything. But it was due to be finalized in the month of February, if all could have gone according to plan.
Legally, since she's now resigned,
yes,
and we are here where we can track this long journey to where we are now, is there a way to recoup some of that money, just from a legal point of view?
Right now, for the matters that we have prevailed over here, particularly the March 2024 Pretoria High Court matter, which was struck from the road, as well as the November 2024, the interlocutor application, we have been awarded legal costs, and they are to the tune of a million plus, 1 million plus legal costs, which are yet to be taxed by the master, and that is due to be taxed on the 24th of May, 2025.
Okay.
And further than that, we have also applied to the pension fund, the insurance, to preserve a pension fund in terms of Section 37D of the Pension Funds Act, in order to recoup whatever we could salvage and or recover from her, not only relating to the legal cost, but any other ancillary cost which we may be entitled to recover legally.
We've obviously been speaking about the National Lottery for a while now too, and I know that there are processes underway to try and clean things up. You know, how tough is it? You sit at the legal services at the National Lottery Commission. You know, how tough is it? Because it does seem like the rot was quite deep.
The rot is quite deep, but we're happy with the progress that we've registered thus far as the NLC in trying to prevent and rule out corruption within the ranks of the NLC and implement various measures. Remember, we are responsible for regulating rotary funding and ensuring fair distribution of funds. Therefore, we are overseen by our policy department and DTIC. We are governed by the board of directors to ensure strategic oversight and ethical decision-making. So there are various measures which the NLC has put in place just to attend to the rot that may be seen to be deep in the organization.
Point of View with Pimelo Mudine
on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.
So that was my conversation recently with Advocate Lesedi Buihang, who's an executive manager of legal services at the National Lotteries Commission. Now, for that right of reply, the person who is currently on the line and was listening to that conversation is the former National Lotteries Commission Secretary, Advocate Nompumelelo Nene. Let me just welcome her on the line. Advocate Nene, thank you so much for granting us the opportunity to talk to you. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pimelo, and good evening to your listeners.
Our apologies just publicly for not having afforded you the right of reply. We do apologize for that, and we hope this will give you an opportunity to clarify a few things.
Thank you, Pimelo. I mean, on the eve of Human Rights Day, I'm still finding myself once again having to fight for the fundamental right to be heard. Nonetheless, I am thankful that I am here and I have an opportunity to clarify any allegations, misrepresentations, and perceptions. I think placing facts before fiction is where I am able to exercise my fundamental right to be heard without fear, favor, and prejudice. So I thank you for the platform.
Let's allow you then to take us through the chronological order of from the moment you were suspended, that precautionary suspension that kicked in on the 18th of November 2022, all the way to your subsequent resignation in January 2025.
Thank you. I think I must start sort of with the preamble to say, you know, for the past 2 years and 3 months, I was up against an institution that enjoys unlimited public resources to deny me my right to innocence until proven guilty, which is a fundamental legal principle, Pimelo. Additionally, the law, the NLC policies and procedures provides clear procedures for investigations and disciplinary processes against any employee. Therefore, my suspension and the disciplinary process against me ignored these legal principles, laws, and policies and were used as a public relations tool rather than a legitimate investigation and process. So my process since 2 years and 3 months ago can be categorized in three categories as we talk about the chronology: the precautionary suspension, the actual disciplinary hearing, and the resignation. So I was placed on precautionary suspension on 18 November 2022 at the NLC's orders. However, at the time of my suspension, no preliminary investigation had been conducted, which is a direct violation of NLC's own board-approved policies and standard operating procedures, in that you are put under precautionary suspension based on preliminary findings of an investigation. And in my case, it was not to be. Therefore, this irregularity alone rendered my suspension unlawful from the onset, among other irregularities, which are clearly articulated in the notice of termination of my employment contract, which I stress was involuntary, and I have furnished you with the full copy of that. On the 3rd of February 2023, nearly 3 months into my suspension, the NLC requested my consent to extend the precautionary suspension, as this was due to the 90-day provision to hold a disciplinary hearing within that time frame. I refused that, and this led to them immediately charging me without any investigative findings to support the charges. Charging me after my refusal simply demonstrated that the disciplinary process was not about accountability, has never been, and in fact, it was a retaliation to my refusal.
If I can ask ask on that particular point, Advocate Nene, having asked them to suspend the precautionary disciplinary, was it going to, did they give you reasons why you were denied that?
So that's another, I think, sure. You know, Pimela, just to say, 30 minutes of this matter, it's an amoeba of a matter. And to unpack it fully, it will require close to a year. But to respond to this, I did lodge an application to lift the suspension on about 12 February 2023 after I'd been charged on the 8th of February 2023. That process took about 5 months of exchanging submissions or pleadings with me motivating why I should return to work. And that alone cost me about 500,000 just to motivate my return to the office. The reasons for them denying me my return to work, I cannot elaborate fully at this point, but I will make available the full chairperson's ruling. Why? Because that was made to the internal disciplinary chair, why I shouldn't return to the office. That indicated that investigations are still underway. I was a threat to information security. However, I had already been charged. So it also points to the irregularity of being charged without conclusion of that investigation.
May I ask, at that point, what was the number of the charges? I know at some point you ended up with 135 charges, which were, instituted only in 2023. But at that point, how many charges were you facing?
Okay, so if you allow me to first in context the categories of charges, there are 147 initially.
Okay.
Okay. So in terms of the final charges, so around November 2023, they had then charged me with 147 charges. But if you look at it, it's essentially five categories of charges. But prior to that, the initial charges came through on the 8th of February. There were two categories of charges, which were mainly the allegation that I had instructed the CIO and his team to delete records. And it had to do then with procurement irregularities, which were the charges without any investigation in February. So by November 2023, we had 145 charges. And out of these 145 charges, it's five categories, which I'd like to outline.
Okay.
Charges 1 to 54, it was alleged that I instructed the CIO to delete grant beneficiary records from the NLC IT system. No evidence had been presented to substantiate this claim. And in terms of that, because of how disparaging and defamatory it is, and given the nature of my job, this is a very serious allegation and a false accusation in my view. I since laid a criminal complaint with the Linden Police Station for false accusations, criminal defamation and perjury under the Protected Disclosure Act and Criminal Procedure Act in this respect. Then there's a charge 55. It is, that's the second category. It alleged that I improperly appointed an individual in my department deemed to be incompetent and unqualified to the position of senior specialist corporate governance ethics relations. However, I had no authority to make such an appointment. The individual was already appointed by the NLC, and the employer or the NLC did not lead evidence in this regard, citing that organization-wide investigations were underway in this respect. However, there was simply no merit to this charge. Charge 56 was alleged that I undermined the board of directors by referring to them as immature. So this charge actually stems from, and it's quite peculiar, from my application to lift my suspension, where I stressed the need for an experienced company secretary, given where the board was in terms of the lottery, the current processes under the RFP, Fourth National Lottery License. It was a professional opinion that was rooted on the fact that it was a new board. They needed a company secretary who was experienced in lotteries and gaming and had institutional knowledge. And therefore, in my assessment, in terms of the governance maturity assessment and following the board members' very own request for training in Lotteries 101, that they needed my services. But instead of being returned to work, I was charged for being insolent towards the board. Charge 57, also stemming from my application to uplift that suspension, it's alleged that I made disparaging remarks against the Special Investigations Unit. This stems from my submission to the chairperson of the disciplinary inquiry, also from the upliftment of the suspension, where I raised concerns about the SIU's role in investigating the so-called deletion of records. While it, in my view, the SIU may have themselves being needing to be under the same investigation, because on 8 December, they conducted a dawn raid onto the NLC. They seized records, and records were lost in their care or between their in their custody or in transition between them and the Hawks. And this comes about because one of the investigating officers had approached the NLC for assistance in terms of finalizing affidavits relating to the investigations they were conducting. And when they arrived at the NLC, they had indicated the records were lost. Certainly, they were not lost in our care because we had proof that we had handed over all the originals. So my contention and apprehension was, how can the very people who may also be entangled in the same investigation I'm supposed to be investigating, investigate themselves? So that is the fourth category of charge. The last category of charges speaks to procurement irregularities. It's alleged that I committed financial misconduct related to procurement and irregular expenditure based on Auditor General findings. However, weird enough, National Treasury later determined that AG findings were in themselves incorrect. The commissioner then proceeded with these charges, despite lacking the authority and relying on an investigation conducted unlawfully by the then Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition. And the fifth category of charge actually gives rise to the reasons why then I sought assistance from the court in one of the matters that was mentioned. Thank you.
So let's talk about your seeking assistance from the courts. I believe you've been there twice. And what was the outcome of those cases?
Okay, so the first matter, and firstly, I just want to say that there's an attempt to characterize my legal efforts as a Stalingrad strategy or delay tactic. It's a blatant distortion of my rights to challenge procedural injustices and unfair labor practices. So the first matter that I took up was on an urgent basis in the High Court Johannesburg Division, where I sought the court's assistance following a ruling by the chairperson of the disciplinary committee. I had made submissions of preliminary points where I raised concerns with the legality of the disciplinary process itself, in that I was suspended and charged by the commissioner. Anybody who knows and understands governance would know that a company secretary reports to the board, mm-hmm. is appointed by the board, and is removed by a board. So that I am charged by a commissioner is an irregularity. She had no authority to, he had no authority to suspend me, particularly that there was no board resolution approving those actions. And so I submitted these preliminary points to the DC chair, who then came back in her ruling, which we will share, and we will share on our Ntabi in Suits platform that for the public to read for themselves, who then came back to say she doesn't have authority or jurisdiction to rule on the authority issue, and that the only way to be able then, the only arbiter for this is the High Court. And because there was a looming disciplinary hearing that would proceed and the irregularity thereof, and based on her ruling, I then approached the court on an urgent basis, requesting their intervention.
Does that then mean what you were seeking from the court? The court was ruling on the urgency of the intervention, not the merits of the case.
Okay. Quite correct.
So they then denied you, though. They denied to grant you the urgent application.
They denied me that, and it followed that then I had to attend to this irregular disciplinary hearing.
All right.
Yes. So the second matter relating to the Auditor General of South Africa is also quite complex, but in the main, it was about getting the Auditor General to take into account the determination by National Treasury that her findings were incorrect. And as you would, or you wouldn't know, and the public wouldn't know, what it meant is that the commissioner then used the auditor general's incorrect findings to charge me. It got the former Minister Patel to direct an investigation into financial misconduct against me, which he doesn't have powers or didn't have powers to in terms of the PFMA. And so it was about seeking redress in that here is a determination by the Treasury, by the National Treasury, which in terms of the audit dispute mechanism that has been developed by the Auditor General, it indicates that where the auditor and auditee are in dispute, the auditee will refer the matter to National Treasury for a determination. Once the National Treasury makes a determination, the Auditor General will adopt that determination. And that did not happen. And that was the main contention then with that matter.
And the outcome of that, they, my understanding is that you obviously did not get the supporting documentation. Is this the matter where you were looking for supporting documentation to proceed?
Correct. There was an interlocutory Rule 30 application where I was seeking certain information, not only from the Auditor General, but from the National Lotteries Commission and from the Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition. And in that respect, the judge ruled that it was a fishing expedition, which it really wasn't. And I think if you look at these institutions, for instance, the National Lotteries Commission, it says that the board and the commission will exercise its functions with complete transparency. And if they were being transparent, the lengths they went to oppose that application, if there was nothing untoward, they would have given that information to begin with. I mean, that has been the theme throughout my case. Even in my disciplinary and investigation processes, I've been denied critical information to be able to mount my defense. And so that is where we were. It wasn't the end of the matter. Where we are now is that all the respondents have filed their answering affidavits. I am currently taking legal advice because now I'm no longer in the employ of the NLC, and we are reviewing whether I've got legal standing to carry the matter forward in the courts. I must just stress that that's still in consideration, but where my legal advice advises that I cannot proceed further, I will seek other regulatory bodies to address those concerns, because whilst the NLC AG and Minister's Office are relying on technicalities, mm-hmm. the merits are quite strong and speak for themselves.
I also believe that you are currently in discussions or in some sort of an intermediary discussions with the CCMA. Who's in that room? Is it yourselves and the NLC, or is there another third party?
All right. So I referred my matter to the CCMA because my matter qualifies as a constructive dismissal.
Okay.
The circumstances of my termination of employment with the NLC was involuntary. And I detail all of that and the circumstances leading to the involuntary resignation due to intolerable working conditions. And you would have the full account in terms of my 18-page resignation letter, which I will put up because I can't go through it given the time constraints we have. But I will put it up for the public to actually read for themselves what I have been through, the injustices I have suffered, the irregularity of processes. I mean, 30 years into our democracy, it's been shocking what I've been through, and it's been an intolerable work environment and circumstances the past 2 years. Therefore, the matter has then been referred to the CCMA because, yes, it was a notice of it was an involuntary termination of employment.
Just maybe if you can help us, you know, clarify the issue of you contesting the narrative that you suddenly resigned on the eve of your disciplinary hearing. What do you have to say about that?
Okay, so that's another completely false and misrepresentation. I tendered the notice of involuntary termination of employment contract with the NLC on the 24th of January, 2025, as my ongoing role with the NLC had become intolerable. The NLC in the interview claimed that they expected to conduct the disciplinary hearing process in February 2025 and further claimed that I resigned just the day before the scheduled cross-examination, effectively avoiding further accountability and scrutiny. This is false, as it is on record that I still had about five more sittings of my examination in chief where I was still on the stand to give testimony. The continuation of the disciplinary hearing was in fact scheduled for one day on the 28th of January 2025, which was postponed by the NLC. The next sittings were not confirmed as yet, as the next available dates of the chairperson of the disciplinary hearing and NLC external attorneys was anticipated to be March 2025. If the NLC had anticipated finalizing the disciplinary hearing in February 2025 as claimed, the dates on record show otherwise. And they still could have done so, as I served more than a full month's notice. I did not resign with immediate effect, and I did not resign on the eve of cross-examination as misrepresented. So further, my legal team and I remained available to the NLC's instruction until the very last day of my notice period, being 28 February 2025.
Finally, on my side, unless if there's anything else, is the issue of the 6 million rand that came to you during your suspension. My understanding is that that sort of amounts to what would have been your pay anyway, your salary. Just maybe clarify that.
So I think that's the most aggravating of this whole movie, because you can't make this stuff up, what I've went through with the NLC, totally Oscar-winning stuff. But the claim that I pocketed 6 million while on suspension is deliberately misleading. It gives an impression that I wasn't, and was in fact construed by many that I benefited unduly through fraudulent means, whereas I was suspended with full pay and benefits for a period of 2 years and 3 months until my voluntary termination of my employment contract on 24 January 2025. The precautionary suspension explicitly allows for full pay with benefits. If the NLC truly believed I should have not been paid, why did they fight so hard to keep me suspended instead of allowing me to return to work, as I had petitioned through my application to lift the suspension, which was utterly opposed by them? The application to lift suspension alone cost me close to 500,000. To add to my frustration, this application process alone took nearly 5 months to get a ruling from the internal disciplinary chairperson, simply because there was numerous exchanges of pleadings or submissions where the NLC were determined for me not to return to work. Where then she ruled that I should remain on suspension was already 7 months into the suspension, without a concluded investigation having been already charged. I have made the entire application to lift the suspension, which Pimelo comprises of 1,129 pages of pleadings back and forth. It's available to you. It will be available to the public. And as indicated, again, indicating the NLC's commitment to me not returning to work.
I do, Advocate, have some people who've called in. I don't know if you're comfortable to take the calls.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
I was saying that there are two people who've called in. I don't know if you're comfortable to take the calls. Let us know if you are. If not, that is still okay by us.
Oh, sorry, I lost you there a moment. I'm comfortable to take calls, right, and I will respond to the best of my ability, obviously within the constraints that there are still processes underway.
All right, let's do this. Can we take a quick break? I've got to take a quick break because I've got to pay the bills. I will get to, I see Tebogo, I see you, Thando. Let me just do this quickly and we'll be back with more of your questions or comments with Advocate Nene.
Kaya 959 with Pimelo Modine. What's yours?
12 minutes after 9 o'clock, a quick recap. We have been in conversation with Advocate Nompumelelo Nene, who has resigned from the NLC. This is her right of reply after we had spoken to the National Lotteries Commission, which had stated various things about her resignation and a previous precautionary suspension. She's clarified some of those issues, giving us a timeline of what happened since 2022, leading up to 2025, where she finally resigned. On the line with us, let's take a call from Thando in Mpumalanga. Thando, thanks for calling. Good evening and welcome.
Evening, Mkhashi, Gunjani. How are you?
We're good, Thando. Please go ahead.
Okay. Advocate Nene.
Thando, please go ahead, sir.
Okay. Advocate Nene, please tell me, why are we always hearing on the media that you guys were...
Thando?
Can you hear me?
Yes, but you keep pausing, so I'm not sure whether it's your line or whether it's just you pausing.
No, maybe it's my line.
Oh, okay.
We keep on hearing that the previous board and the previous executive were corrupt and the likes, but now we want to hear from our Advocate Nene why is the current board pushing that narrative, which you guys are corrupt, whilst under the previous board and under the previous executive, all the what do I call this? All the civil society society was getting funding, and
I see where you're going with this. So are you somebody who used to benefit from the lottery?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I see. I understand what you say, Advocate Nene. Maybe do you want to respond to that? Are you still there, Advocate Nene? Okay, I will try and see if we can't correct that line.
I'm here.
Yes, so the question was...
Yes, I
don't know if you heard, but Thando was basically making the point that since with the previous board, as a beneficiary of the NLC, they used to effectively get the grants that they had applied for. Why is it that with this current board, he feels that you guys are being labeled as corrupt? I don't know if you want to respond to that.
Thando, sorry, Pimelo, I actually, I can't respond on behalf of the board. I do know that processes are underway with law enforcement agencies. Review applications have been launched, and I can't speak to those processes. But what I can say definitively, and why I'm here today, is to address the allegations, against me. I mean, one of the things and the opening statements, which is a very key thing that I forgot to emphasize, is that the executive manager legal for NLC in correctly implied or stated categorically that I was charged and suspended for corruption.
Yes.
That is not the case. And that, in fact, is in, you can find it in transcripts where the very gentleman who suspended me and is now a board member, Mr. Lionel October, in his testimony under oath, stated, I was never charged or suspended for corruption. So I can't speak to issues of corruption because I'm not corrupt. I've never been charged for corruption, and I can't speak to that. I can't even speak to their commitment on of finding the former board and executives corrupt when processes are underway, investigations are still underway. Thanks.
What was the maladministration one of your charges?
Maladministration wasn't one of my charges. Charges that were preferred were the instruction to delete records.
Mm-hmm.
There was a charge on me having irregularly appointed a subordinate in my division who was already employed by the NLC. And with me not having also appointing powers in terms of the delegation of authority, I was charged for undermining the board by corporate governance principles and the ISO 37004 standard. I was charged for making disparaging remarks against the SIU being involved in an investigation where they themselves or their involvement would be subject to the investigation. I was then further charged for financial misconduct in terms of the irregular expenditure, which the National Treasury had determined that there was no irregular expenditure.
So you also refute that maladministration is not one of the charges that you have?
I refute that, yes.
All right. Let me go to Teboho in Sandton.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Apologies. I must state that the employer did lead, NLC did lead its evidence. And at the end of that process, we made a request to the chairperson of the disciplinary committee for absolution from the instance. So absolution from the instance is a legal remedy which is sought when the evidence presented by those prosecuting is insufficient for me to have warranted a response. So simply this means that the NLC had not led evidence establishing basis for the 145 charges. The request for absolution from the instance was denied by the chairperson, and this led to my application for the chairperson's recusal, which she again denied. I then came to the conclusion that it is objectively intolerable for me to continue my employment with the NLC because I had no means to secure a fair hearing before the chairperson.
All right. Teboho, you're in Sandton. Good evening and welcome.
Yeah. Good evening. Good evening. Thank you so much. And hi to Advocate Nene. I see it's an advocate after an advocate. The last time it was advocate in
yes.
the city. I'm Teboho Statu. Mm-hmm. I'm the chairman of the United Civil Society in Action. We have been working very closely on the situation at the crime scene that is happening at the National Lottery Commission. I actually, Pimela, I was the last caller last week when you were interviewing Advocate
yep.
Stady,
yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately he had already left.
Yes.
But what's happening at the National Lottery Commission, there's more than meets the eye. Mm. I call it a crime scene, and we've written numerous letters to the current minister, Honorable Minister Tau, about the situation. We are still engaging with him. We went to see his office's advisors last week, Friday, recently, and to call on him to remove this board with immediate effect.
Let me just be clear.
The commissioner is illegal, and I think Advocate Nene is a big girl to take care of her own issues. So I'm not here to speak for her. As an organization, since the previous minister, we were trying to engage the National Resources Commission. They have failed in their key mandate, one, to distribute the funds. They are sitting on top of over 4 billion rand when civil society, I'm talking about your NGO sector, is suffering without no funding. Number two, they have messed up the license. I'm sure, Pamela, you've seen that the minister is unable to issue the new license to the winning bid, out of the shortlisted company. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because of the current board and commissioner, they have marred the entire process with conflict of interest and irregularities, and there's a collapse of governance at the National Resources Commission. Pamela, the latest evidence, last week Friday, the NLC could not pay salaries. And you can actually verify that with the workers. Mm. They could not pay salaries. Guess what was the reason? The system had collapsed. Organizations are struggling to apply for funding. They are sitting on top of over 4 billion rand, and they call it reserve. It's not reserve. They've failed over the last 2 years to distribute the funds, which is their key mandate, and to also regulate the issues of the lotteries and the license in this country. We are actually looking at the prospect of not having the national lottery operator come the end of May 31st.
Deboho, appreciate your call, but as you said, you know, Advocate Nene, you say is a big girl, so these are separate issues. Advocate Nene, before I let you go, you know, your parting shot? Advocate, okay, you're back now. Your parting shot, Advocate Nene?
So, my parting shot, Pimelo, you know, I want to say the reason I keep fighting, and I requested this right of reply is that I'm a human being. I have human rights. I have a beautiful mother and father who are honest, hardworking citizens who've been teachers all their lives. I've got amazing sisters in the public service, and they are impacted by this kind of reportage. We don't have a corrupt bone in our family. But also, you know, this is a story of many other governance professionals. My case is not an isolated incident. It's part of a broader troubling pattern of governance failures in South Africa's public institutions, particularly targeting company secretaries who are expected to uphold corporate governance. Company secretaries diligently fulfill their oversight functions. They're often ignored. They find themselves subjected to retaliatory.
Oh, Advocate Nana, I don't know. I think we've lost you. Oh, I don't know what happened there. Advocate Nana, are you still there?
Sorry, are we back?
Yes, we are back. Yes, we're back.
Yes, and very quickly to say, you know, my experience just emphasizes the precarious position our governance professionals who attempt to act in the best interest of institutions, only to be vilified with their integrity and having disciplinary processes and resources meant for the best interest of those organizations weaponized against them. So I think for me, this has become a call to assist many of my colleagues and professionals basically in workplaces where this kind of behavior is now prevalent and it's become a pandemic. And that's why I think for us, we've established Inkabi in Suits, which we will unpack as the weeks come by to provide the necessary support to honest, earnest, hardworking professionals, particularly in states who are often criticized for not being overpaid and not doing their jobs. But behind the scenes, they're dealing with very real hitmen in suits operating in our boardrooms and workspaces. Thank you.
Well, we really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to give you the time to respond to all these allegations and affording us the opportunity to correct where we erred. And thank you so much for making us time for us, Advocate Nene.
Thank you, Pumelo, and good evening to your listeners.
Good evening. That was a former National Lotteries Commissioner Secretary, Commission Secretary, Advocate Nompumelelo Nene. Let's take a quick break. I'll be back with Leroy.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.